Alright, we'll start on the top of Kuf Lamed Amud Aleph. This is a Mishnah that's been often quoted because of this Mishnah has the Shita of Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka in it. So we've seen this numerous times. The Mishnah begins, Omer Ish Ploni Yersheni, B'makom Sheish Bat, Biti Tirasheni, B'makom Sheish Ben, Lo Amar Klum, Shehitna Mashakotu B'Torah. So it sounds like from the Reisha right now that this person is attempting to give Yerusha to a third party, when his daughter is the rightful inheritor. Or that he's trying to give his inheritance to his daughter when his sons are the rightful inheritors. And here the Mishnah says that he's unsuccessful at doing this because he's being matna. He's trying to change the parsha to Yerusha that the Torah lays out. On the other hand, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka omer, im amar amish ra'ui liyoshehu, if he says it about someone who is available and able to inherit him, the Rav Kayamim, it works, it's fine. V'almi she'en v'yolo liyosho, ain't Rav Kayamim. On the other hand, if it's said about someone who could not otherwise inherit him, then it does not work. The Gemara is going to investigate all these terms, which are somewhat ambiguous, to figure out what does the Mishnah mean and how far, or what is the extent of Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka's statement over here. So the first important thing is that the previous Mishnah that we read sounds pretty clear about the fact that you're not allowed to move around Yerusha. We had a Mishnah that already stated before that a person who tries to equal out all the children or tries to move Nechasim, give one more, one less, if he does it derech matana, if he does it through a gift, it works. But if he does it derech Yerusha, he fails. So we already have that statement in the previous Mishnah. So the question is now, when we come to this Mishnah, who's speaking in the beginning of the Mishnah? This is already clear from the previous Mishnah, or the ratio of the Mishnah. And why do you need to say again that a person who tries to redistribute his Yerusha, that it fails? So now, the Gemara tries to mimic Dayek from our Mishnah. Taima, Da'acher b'makom bat, Ubat b'makom ben. Here, the reason our Mishnah, the Tanna Kamma over here, suggests that there's a failure in the ability to pass the Yerusha in the way he wants, is because he's trying to move it from to a third party, or the acher could be a brother, an uncle, whoever he's trying to move it, but not to the daughter, who is the rightful inheritor. And the same thing is true by giving it to a daughter when there are sons there. Ha, but that you can infer or conclude, ben abanim. If he wanted to give it to one son out of all the sons, or bat ben abanot, or a daughter amongst the other daughters, the Rav Kayami, it would have worked. Because what seems to be excluded from the ratio of the Mishnah is simply a case where he wants to change the, we'll call it the level of Yerusha. That here, there's an entitled Yoresh, and now he wants to transfer it to someone who is not within that group of entitled people. But if you say that, then you could indicate, or the Mishnah could indicate, that if you give it to someone who was entitled in that entitled group, for instance, a son amongst sons, or a daughter amongst daughters when they were the rightful inheritors, that it would work. But if that's the case, Ema Seifo. What are you going to do with the second half of the Mishnah where Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka basically says that? So how are you going to explain Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka? Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, Meir Imam Ra'al Mishra Ra'ui Liyosho Dvarav Kayamim. Right? So then, if it's the second statement or the Seifo of the Mishnah, as Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka says, anybody who is the rightful inheritor, then it works. Then Hainu Taina Kama. They become, now they're the same. You can't separate between Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka and Tanakam, they're saying the same thing. V'chi teima, oh, so what do you want to suggest here? That Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka afilu acher b'mkom bat, u'bat b'mkom ben kama. That maybe the possibility here is that Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka is willing to extend his statement beyond that which the Tanakam says. Tanakam says it only works when you're on the same level of Yerusha. If the children, the boys, are entitled to inherit, then you can redistribute it amongst the boys, and I'll be fine according to the Tanna Kamma. Along comes Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka and says that even to the daughters would be good. Even the face of boys, you can give it to the daughter. And the same thing, but the daughter was the one rightful inheritor, the daughters were the rightful inheritors. The Tanna Kamma will say you can redistribute it amongst the daughters. Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka says you can go past the daughters to the next level of Yerusha. So then, if you want to, or if you do suggest it this way, then the ratio of the Mishnah comes to teach you that how far the Rabbanan go. That even with a ben abanim, he didn't say anything. And the Sefer of the Mishnah comes to teach us the power of Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, that a third party, or someone outside of the level of Yerusha, he argues on the Rabbanan. And, right, the Rav Kayamim, it would work. So you could have it now where you actually have a division or a split between, it's pretty far apart now. You have a case where the Rabbanan believe that no one can inherit except the way that the Torah is laid out. And you have Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka who says you can reconfigure any way that the division happens as long as it's an inheritor. The question of who is considered an inheritor over here is a question mark. Yesterday we brought up the point, what is it? It's anybody who is, right, who anybody in the, eventually could be your inheritor. So what does it mean inheritor? Here the Rashbam limits this and says that this statement is limited. It says, V'im ein ra'oy li'yoshua charbito kegon dodo. What happens if you have the daughter was the rightful inheritor? So who's the next level? After you go son, then daughter, right? Then after that, it actually moves to the father. And then after the father, moves to the brothers. And then after the brothers, it'll move to the uncles. Or, truthfully, it'll move to the grandfather, and then to the uncles. But in this case, how far down do you go? So the Rashbam suggests over here that you can only go one step further. And that when in this Havamit of the Gemara, it would be that if, for instance, if the sons were supposed to inherit, then you could go give it to the daughter. She's Ra'oili or Sho, if the level of inheritors right now in front of you would have not existed. So you can move, you can do one step removed or one level removed from these inheritors. Again, so he writes it like this, Imein Ra'oili or Sho Achar Bito Kagon Dodo, his uncle, V'eshlo Achim, and he has brothers that would come before the uncles. T'achim kodmim l'chei aviv, lo maklum. There it doesn't work. Hol ben ro'il yosho, ad shetemut bito ve'achav. Until his daughter dies, plus his brothers die. So what we allow you is once removed, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka will allow you. Twice removed already, he will not allow you. So what's called ro'il yosho, right, it's those that are found in the parashat ha-yoshim, and also they have to be once removed from the rightful inheritor now. That's the havamina of the Gemara right now, that you'll have these opinions. And that our Mishnah, this is the way the Rashbam says, don't be medayek from our Mishnah, like we said over here, that ben abanim or bat ben abanot would work according to the Tanakhama. No. Let's look at it this way. We have the ratio of the Mishnah we saw before. Ratio of the Mishnah we saw before, and that comes to tell you, nothing works. Doesn't matter. No matter what you do, it fails to work. We have the Sefer of the Mishnah over here, which is Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. It's clear it works. We're going to say it works in every case. As long as it's, again, one step removed from the Yoresh, but it'll work. You can move it around any way you want. And don't be, again, Midayek, through the Mishnah here that we said over here that Ben Abanamim work, or that a Bat Ben Abanot would work. Because even Ben Abanamim would not work. And the reason that they listed it this way is because Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. Because Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka is coming to say that even in the case of, right, not ben abanim or bat ben abanot, it would work. So the fact is, the reason that the Mishnah starts off with this case is not to show you the position of the Tanakhama or the Chachamim, but rather to tell you how powerful the position of Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka is. So you have the Mishnah back on Kuf, Chav, Vav, and Bet, which will tell you what the real position of the Rabbanan is. And here you have the position of Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, and the lead of this Mishnah is only to introduce you to how far Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka is willing to go. So that's the Gemara's suggestion now. But if you want to say this, V'hatanya, we have a problem. Because if you want to say this, we have Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka's son who spoke. Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, Rabbi Shmo, Bno, Shur, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, Omer, Lo Nechuku, Abo, V'chachamim, Alacher b'kombat, obat b'makom ben, shalom arklum. Rabbi Yishmael, the son of Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, says, my father never argued on the Rabbanan when it came to, again, a second derivative of Yoresh. He would agree. If it's you were trying to bequeath the inheritance to a daughter when there were sons, or you're trying to bequeath it to a brother in the place where there's a daughter, it doesn't work. Even according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, he's saying, my father would agree in that case, it doesn't work. Aman echelku, where is there Nekudat ha-machloket, where is their point of contention? Al-ben ben abanim, u-bat ben abanot. Only when it's a son amongst sons, a daughter amongst daughters, when the daughters were the rightful heirs, that's where they argue. Sh'aba omer yirash, that it can work. V'chamim lo yirash. So if that's the case, you cannot explain our Mishnah as being that extreme. You can't say, don't be medayik from the ratio of the Mishnah, because the only reason the ratio of Mishnah is this way is to teach you how make your Rabbi Yochanan Mabruk is. But that's not the case. His son Rabbi Shmuel says that he doesn't go that far. Rabbi Yochanan Mabruk's statement is limited to a Yoresh on the same level, a rightful Yoresh, right, rightful inheritor on the same level. See, Bayitema, so the Gemara has two ways to explain, or possibilities to explain the Mishnah. Mid kamar lo nechluku. The fact that Rabbi Shmuel says that they do not argue. Michlal, the conclusion from that is that there are others who disagree. Michlal, the Tanakama, Sabra Nechluku. That there is someone who believes that they do argue on that point. So Rabbi Shmuel, who suggests that his father's machlokas is limited to Ben Ben Abinim and Bat Ben Abanot, is coming to suggest, means that there's someone else who disagrees with Rabbi Shmuel. So if there's someone else, there's a Tanakhama, who believes they do argue on that point. And they will argue even in a case where it's a daughter amongst sons that he's trying to distribute to, or a brother among when there's daughters that he has to distribute to. So that Rabbi Yochanan Mabruk is not limited to the current inheritors, the level of the current inheritors, but he would say anybody who's Ra'ul Yerusha, even the next level down, and a daughter in the face of sons could inherit according to Rabbi Yochanan Ben Brukah, or a brother in the face of the daughters who were the rightful inheritors could inherit according to Rabbi Yochanan Ben Brukah. So if you say that, then we can explain the Mishnah like we just did before. Not according to the way Rabbi Shmuel, but at least according to that Tanakhama, we could explain it that way, that the Machlokas extends that far, that they're that far apart. The Chachamim, who say you can never change the Yerusha, and Rabbi Yochanan Ben Brukah says you can change it any way you want. I mean, as long as you're within the context of Yerusha, you're going to the next level of Yerusha, you can do whatever you want. So that's one possibility. Or Ibai Dema Kule Rabbi Yochanan Ben Broka. Our whole Mishnah is Rabbi Yochanan Ben Broka. Bechasurei Mechstran, it's missing words. Vachitani. The Chachamim's positions already stated in the previous Mishnah. We don't need them to be repeated here. This Mishnah is Rabbi Yochanan Ben Broka, and this is how to read it. Omer Yishkloni Yirasheni B'makom Sheish Bat Biti Tirasheni B'makom Sheish Ben Lomer Klum. Didn't say anything. That's Rabbi Yochanan Ben Broka's position. Like Rabbi Shmuel, the way his son explained it. Ha, bat ben abanot, uben ben abanim. But you can conclude from this, or the inference from this is that a daughter amongst daughters, when the daughters were rightfully supposed to inherit, or a son amongst sons, when they were the rightful heirs at this point. Im amar yirash kol nechasav, dvarav kaimim. He says to this one son and one daughter, you take everything. It works. She, Rabbi Yochanan Omer, instead of saying that the seifa is an argument, it's support. This is the position is the position of Rabbi Yochanan Baruch Hu, who says Imamar al Mishi Roil Yeshod Rav Kayamim. So that's the two ways to explain our Mishnah. The two ways to explain our Mishnah will actually have implications about what the position of Rabbi Yochanan Ben Broka is. The first way we're explaining the Mishnah, Rabbi Yochanan Ben Broka's position goes further than we thought. It goes to anybody who's Roil Yeshod. Again, the Rishbam limits what Roil Yeshod means to the next level of inheritors, next level of heirs. So that case, again, if he had sons that were supposed to inherit, and he has one daughter, he could give it to his daughter, no problem. That was it. All right, he says it, he has to say Misvara. Yeah, you have to say Misvara. You have to live in. You have to limit it somehow. I suggested yesterday maybe you have to limit it to the Parshat Hanachalot. Somebody mentioned in Parshat Hanachalot. The Shabbam goes right, he says one level, that's enough, called Roi L'Yosho. Because Roi L'Yosho means that you're next in line. That's, I think, the way he's defining the word. Roi L'Yosho means you're next in line to inherit. All right, if you're too removed, two people have to die for you. Even like, oh, I don't know if we call you a possible inheritor. A possible inheritor is someone's close enough that if one little thing goes wrong, then they would be the inheritor. But to suggest that all the sons and all the daughters have to die for you to get it, I think that he thinks that's too far. So I think it's a logical argument. I don't think he has necessarily evidence to that fact, but it's an argument I think that has standing. Again, I think you have to limit it somehow, and he limits it to that next generation. So that's the one possibility of explaining the Mishnah, that the Chachamim will say, never move Nachla, and Rabbi Yochanan says, you can always move it up to a second, right, derivative heir. Now, second way to explain it is like Rabbi Shmuel, the son of Rabbi Yochanan Ben Rocha, limits Rabbi Yochanan Ben Rocha's position to son amongst sons, if the sons were the rightful heirs, or a daughter amongst daughters, when the daughters were the rightful heirs, then you have to explain our Mishnah as being totally Rabbi Yochanan Ben Broka, and the Chachamim's position was already mentioned back on, right, what we said before, on Kuf Chaf, Zayin, Amud Bet, Kochavav Amidbet, that's the Chachamim's position already mentioned in that Mishnah, and this is all Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. The reason it makes a difference is because the Gemara is about to make a statement, which is important, which is Amar Rabbi Yehuda Mishmu, Halacha, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. The Halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, which Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka is not mentioned here, V'chein Amar Rava, right, Halacha, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. So that the both of him make a statement that the Halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, but nobody tells you which Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka is. The Rashbam over here says that when we say Halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka is only Ben Abin Abinim. It's according to the second way explained the Mishnah, that Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka is the author of this Mishnah, and that he, like the son, Rabbi Shmuel, limited it, that it will only be Ben Ben Abinim and Bat Ben Abinot. So over here when they make that statement, he has evidence from further on. He has evidence that the Gemara seems to be indicating that that's the case, that that's how they understood Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. And therefore he explains, and we'll see these cases as they come up, we can discuss them on Kuf Lamed Gimel. He brings some of the cases from Kuf Lamed Gimel to suggest that that's the case, that Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka only means ben ben Abanim and Bat ben Abanot. And then you have to reconcile other Gemaras, again, ahead of us, which suggest that maybe it's not true, or the law is not like Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. So maybe when we get there, we'll deal with those Gemaras, but the Rishbam goes through over here those cases. Tosus over here also agrees that Dafka ben Abanim, but ben Abanot, he says, compares to Rishbam, that the law here, like Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, means like the second way that the Gemara explains it, limited to ben Abanim and bat ben Abanot. Now, Rava says, my time of the Rabbi Yochanan. What is the reasoning of Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka? Where does he get his position from? Because it says, Amar Kra, Vaya, Bayom Hin Chilo Et Banav. So, the Torah, Nidna, Rishu De'ava, Nchil Kol Mitzri Yirtze. It says, on the day that he bequeaths to his children. So what do you mean he bequeaths to his children? Right. It should happen automatically. Why is he bequeathing anything? So if he's bequeathing, his suggestion is that he's able to distribute it at his will. And that's the Rashbam suggests over here, that Bayom in Chilo is an extraneous or it's unnecessary Lashon. The Pasuk could have simply said, Bayom Shin Chalu Banav, on the day that his children will inherit. Why? Because it happens automatically. So his heirs will inherit. That's the way it should be written, because he should have nothing to do with it. If you bring in that he is the active party here, Bayom Hin Chilo, that he is the one granting or bequeathing it, that sounds like he has some sort of input on how it gets distributed. So that's what Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka says. He has input, that's right, because he can redistribute or rejigger the inheritance to whomever he wants amongst his children. So Amar Abaye, Abaye says, I could already learn that from the next part of the Pasuk. Why? It says, Melo yiluchal levaker. Later on in the Pasuk, this is in Parshat Ki Teitze, where it says, men may not favor the ben ahuva over the ben asniya, or the ben asnua, and even though, because you want to give the portion of the bechor to the ben ahuva, even though he's not the bechor, you're not allowed to do that. So over there, the Pasukim say, lo yivaker, right? You're not allowed to be mevaker the ben ahuva p'nei ben asnua. So if that's the case, what's the Pasuk suggesting? You may not move around the chelek ha-bechora. You're not allowed to change who gets the double portion. What are the implications from that? You are allowed to change around the regular portions. It's only the chelek ha-bechora that is being restricted by the Torah. So if that can say, Rabbi says, I'm a lo mukhalo vaker nafka. So Rabbi says, how will we violate? We need that pasuk for something else. The Tanya. So Rabbi saw, and now we're going to see the necessity of both of these pasukim. Abba Chanan amar, mishum Rabbi Eliezer, ma Talmud lomar. What does the pasuk say? Lo yukhalo vaker. Why do you need the pasuk to say lo yivaker, that you're not allowed to change around the chelek ha-bechorah? I would suggest over here, it's not clear, that we're only talking about the second portion of the bechor. His chelek ha-pshitut is not what we're talking about here. We're talking about you're not allowed to move the double, the second portion. Right? It might be subject to the machlokas we saw before, again, by, we had a subject, machlokas bin Rashi and Tosvot, when the Gemara was discussing before about what the bechor can sell ahead of time. Can he sell his chelek bechorah? Or can he also sell his chelek bechorah plus his pshitut? When they were talking about what he owns or what he has a right to sell, does he have both items? I mean, the bechora and the pshut, his chelek ha-pashut, only his right over the chelek ha-bechora. So maybe he'd be subjected to that machlokas, or otherwise you could even over here see a difference, which is that the Torah really restricts you from moving the double portion around. So we already have the pasuk that says you have the right to distribute your inheritance like you wish. Sheyachol, I would have thought. Halo dinu, it's a kal v'chomer, or Shiachol. I think a lot of people don't use the word. Tosos eliminates the Gersa Dinu because it's not really a Kavachomer. But Yachol, it's a limud. You could have thought that they have the possibility over here. Uma Pashut Shiafek Kocho. The Pashut has a stronger position wise. Shinotel Baroikum Uchzak. He gets a normal child and a normal inheritance. You're entitled to anything that is already there and anything that will come. Even after the passing of the bequeather of the inheritance, you will get anything that falls to that bequeather, meaning that, for instance, if the son predeceases the father predeceases the grandfather, then if later on the grandfather passes away, then whatever the father should have inherited from the grandfather will pass to the grandchildren because they get it. Anything that would come in the future will also be entitled to them. That's true only on the Chelek HaBashut. We already saw that does not apply to the Chelek HaBechorah. So why? In the case where we're talking about the Pashut, we're talking about the basic level of inheritance that's divided amongst the brothers. The Torah granted the father the right to redistribute the inheritance. Bechor, shorakocho, a bechor where he has less power, he's not granted roi mufzak, meaning that which will fall in the future, the bechor will not get a double portion. So it's again where the father predeceases the grandfather, and they have children, right? There are five sons, and amongst those sons is a bechor. That bechor in the grandfather's possessions will not get a double portion. So we see that he has a weaker claim on his bechor, chelek habechorah. So if the father can redistribute the regular inheritance, which they have a stronger position in their father's, possessions, even possessions he doesn't own yet, they have a position. The chelek habechorah, where the bechor only has possessions of what exists now, but not in the future, then certainly the father should be able to redistribute it. So that lo kol shekein, then certainly so. Talmud Omar, lo yuchal levaker. We have an explicit pasuk that says you're not allowed to move around the chelek habechorah. So the Gemara says, okay. The Brisa will suggest, Vayomer, lo yuchal levaker. Right? So why do I need the other pasuk? So just say lo yivaker. You're not allowed to move around the bechor's possession. Ma talmud Omar, vayaban uchalo et banav. And then we won't need the pasuk of Vayomer chalav. If you cannot rejigger the bechorah, the suggestion is that you can redistribute anything besides the bechorah. So what do I need an explicit pasuk that says Vayomer b'yom chilo to tell you that you can redistribute the regular inheritance? So now what do I need it? So although dinu umma bechor shora kocho bechor who has no power sheno tel beroy kumachzak amrat Torah lo yichal levaker. Over there the Torah says don't move it around. Pashut shiafekocho, where it's really strong, shenotel beroim exak lo kol shekein, then certainly you shouldn't be able to move it around. A bechor whose connection to the inheritance is somewhat weaker because he only gets what's existent now, not which will fall in the future, then the father does not have a right to redistribute. Then here with the other sons who have inheritance, they have a claim, their inheritance, their claim on the inheritance is so strong that not only do they get what exists now, but they get what exists in the future, then the father certainly should have no rights to distribute on it. So you would have had the ability to learn possibly from a regular child to a bechor, or bechor to a regular child. So along comes two psukim to tell you that each one, the halacha by each one, by bechor, no movement, by a pashut, go ahead, free rein, you can move it around. Now, Tzvi had asked yesterday, and also I think in the past, it asked, what does Rabbi Yochanan do? What does Rabbi Yochanan do with the pasuk of lo yivaker? Rabbi Yochanan says you can redistribute. Here's the answer. The answer is, he does not. You may not, even according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, you may not redistribute the chelek habechorah. So when the Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka says you can move it around, he's talking about the regular inheritance. Right, and the Rashbam on the previous Amud says it explicitly that Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka is only speaking about the other children or the chelek ha-pshitut, maybe even of the bechor, the chelek ha-pshitut, which is that you can redistribute the regular inheritance. What you can't redistribute, and that's an explicit pasuk, is the chelek ha-bechorah, that you do not have a right to redistribute over here. Right, so now, Amar Rab Zirika, Amar Rab Ami, Amar Rab Chanina, Amar Rabbi, Halacha ke Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. So another statement that halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. Again, undefined about which position, but again, concluding from the Rishvam, the other Rishonim, the Tosafot, also things seem to indicate that Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka only ben ben abanim and bat ben abanot. And now, Amrle Rabbi Avo, horeit ma, that he actually paskin that way. So Michael Mifkuge. So what is the Machlokes V'Din? Mar Sarvar Alocha Adifa. Umar Sarvar, probably should read Masei Rav Adifa. One of them believes that Alocha is better, and one of them believes that Masei Rav is better. So what's the difference over here? When you get a Psach Alocha, when you have a Mesora, what is a better Mesora? Is a better Mesora statement by someone that the Alocha is such and such? Or is it better that you see in a case that the person actually paskened in such a manner? So what are the malot? What are the benefits of each approach, and what are the deficits of each approach? The benefits of the approach where he makes a statement, for instance, in Shir, they're learning, and he says, Allah ka Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. The benefit is, we know that what he said. He clearly made a statement, and his statement is unequivocal, that Allah is like Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. There's no question about that. The problem with that is that it's within the context of a, call it a intellectual discussion. It's in the context of the theoretical or academic side. It's not in the realm of the practical. And we know that when you get to the realm of the practical, people are much more careful and much more discerning. So it's easy to talk about svarot, and it's easy to speak about, right, positions in the context where it has no bearing on the practical. But maybe when it came to the practical, the person would have a different view or be more ma'ayin and would see things differently. Right? That's even why we say halacha is like Rab Nachman Bedine, because Rab Nachman himself was a dayan. Right? So therefore he has tokef in his statements because he actually adjudicated based on his statements. So the benefits of saying halacha is we know what he said. The deficits or the negatives of that is that we don't know that in a practical situation would he really say such. The other way around, what happens if you see it in a case? If he paskins in a case in a certain manner, so now from the standpoint that he's been discerning and that the case is in front of you, you know that he paskins halacha lemaase this way, that's great, because now we saw it. The problem is, he never makes a statement. He never makes an unequivocal statement, halacha Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, and what are you doing? You're inferring from the way that he concluded this case that he thinks halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, or the halacha is such and such. The problem with that is, that requires the viewer of the case to be right about what he saw. That means that he saw some facts, he saw an outcome of the case, and we see this many times in the Gemara. There were people standing, they saw the case, Michlola Yitmar, they inferred from what happened, and then the Gemara says, that's not the case. They passed in this way because of such and such, or the circumstances were such and such. I mean, that you have to know that the circumstances are in the right manner, plus the halacha is being passed in this way because of the conclusion that you want to get to. And either one of those could be wrong, because there's no explicit statement that the halacha is like such and such, or like in this case, like Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. So each tzad has a benefit and a deficit. So that's what the Gemara says over here. We have a Mesorah over here. And in the Mesorah, one Mesorah says that the Amar Rebbe Al-Bocha Kla Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. And the other Mesorah says that Hora Rebbe, that the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. So here, what's the machlokas in this Mesorah? The machlokas in Mesorah is which is a better Mesorah. If we have Rebbe saying explicitly, halacha Kla Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, that's a better Mesorah, because we know what he said. On the other hand, it wasn't a practical application. Or do we like is the Mesorah better when we say, Hora Rebbe concluded a case like Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka? So again, it's practical, so it's great, it's halacha lemaase. But on the other hand, there's no statement, there's no explicit statements. Whoever viewed it, there this is some subjective view of the case that's being seen over here. So now, Tana Rabbanan. Ein lemedim halacha, lo mipi lemud, velo mipi maase, ad shiomru lo halacha lemaase. So now this is unbelievable. So you cannot learn. So this next statement in the Braisa is that neither of those is a good Mesorah. If a person says halacha, no good. A person who says mipi hamase, from something that he saw, no good either. Why? We discussed the deficits of each one. If it's stated in the academic realm, in the theoretical realm, then maybe in the practical it would have been different, so you can't learn from that. In the case law, you can't apply it because that means that your subjective view of what happened, you're inferring something from the case. Maybe you're wrong about that. So how can you get a Mesorah? Aji umrulo, halacha lemaase. That you have to get a explicit statement that you go to a person and say, I want to know what the halacha is, lemaase, practical. So you have to go, when you're getting a psak from a rab, you have to say, halacha lemaase, that's what you want to get a Mesorah. Because then you know he's saying what he said explicitly. Plus, it's not just in the theoretical realm. You're saying, I want to do something based on what you're going to say. It's halacha lemaase. So he has to explicitly say halacha lemaaseh, or you have to ask for halacha lemaaseh.
The hore
is that they saw a case,
right,
and that was it. They saw a case, and from that case, they inferred that the halacha is this way. Here, they're explicitly asking the individual, like say, for instance, here, they would have spoken to Rebbe and say, Rebbe, what is the halacha? If you say, what is the halacha, that's all in the theoretical realm.
Right.
If you saw the case that Rebbe Paskin, you're inferring from what he did that that's the halacha. Over here, you go to Rebbe and say, Rebbe, what is the halacha lemaaseh? What is your psak halacha? I want a statement from you, but I want to know practically what that means. Meaning that we're going to go and adjudicate based on that. So that's the case here. So if Rebbe then says, halacha Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, that's a real case. Because then he's saying, halacha lemaaseh, go ahead and act on this. If you're going to act on this, then we know that he really meant that. And it's not just in the theoretical realm, it's reached now the practical realm. So you need to make him to make an explicit statement, plus be that it's a for practical usage. So that would be the two combined.
Why is it being so tough for Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka here? Is it because it's going up against
Rabbi? Oh, so that would be a very good question. So the Rishbam is going to discuss whether this is really the locha, or this is a very interesting Gemara. We actually don't see any Ein Mishpat or Nir Mitzvah. We don't seem to pass in this way. So the Rishbam is a very, very important Rishbam. I want to read it together with you because it's so important. Comes back. We'll do a couple more lines in the Gemara, and then we'll come back and see how the Gemara views this. It's very, very interesting. So, Sha'alba Amrulo, halacha lemaaseh. He goes and asks a question, and they tell him, this is the halacha lemaaseh. Yelech v'yaseh maaseh. Then he should go ahead and do this. Ubavaj lo yidmeh. As long as he doesn't infer from this case, he got a psak halacha, a specific psak halacha in a specific case, that says, this is halacha lemaaseh. Then go, don't go, and then apply this through inference to other cases. Don't try to extend what you got. So, Mer says, my ubavaj lo yidmeh. What does it mean that you can't go and infer? That is what halacha is. Halacha is exactly that. Halacha is the extrapolation of certain laws and applying them, or the application of that which is here to other cases. That's exactly what halacha is. How could you suggest that a person should not take that and apply it in broader contexts, all right, or try to be infer from that? So, there's certain areas where you can't do that, and that is in trefot. The Tanya, Einu Amrim B'Trefot, Zu Dulum Zu. Don't make inferences or extensions of what you learn in Trefot, because Ati Tamash, Chodcha Mikan Umeita, Chodcha Mikan V'Chayita. So that you cut an animal in one place and it will die, cut it in another place and it will not make it a Trefa, will not to make it die. So the Rishbam suggests a case by Tzomet HaGidim, depending where you cut him, Tzomet HaGidim, he will die from it or not die from it. Tosfos disagrees, and he says that it's about even in different organs. There, that the Rishbam is trying to explain, even in the same organ, you can cut it in a different place, and sometimes it'll kill it, sometimes it won't kill it. Tosfos suggests, no, that you can't apply just because a hole or some sort of trefa in one organ, it makes it either a trefa or not a trefa. Don't take that and apply it to another organ and say the same is true. Because each organ is different and independent. You cannot infer from one or extrapolate from one to the other. But that's a unique case where you're not allowed to do that type of extrapolation, which is trefot. So now we have another statement. Amalei Rav Asi de Rav Yochanan. So Rav Asi says Rav Yochanan, Ki amalan mar halocha hochi navid maaseh. So they say to Rabbi Yochanan, if you say it to us, halacha is halchi, can we go ahead and then act on it? Can we go and use what you're saying and make it practical? So listen to the response. Amar lo tavidu adamina halacha lemaaseh. You're not allowed to do anything I said to you. When I say halacha, do not act upon that until I tell you halacha lemaaseh. That's similar to what we saw in the brayse above, that this is practical halacha. Only when there's practical halacha are you allowed to go ahead and do this. So Rava says to his students, Rav Papa and Rav Huna Brei, Rav Yoshua, Ki ata piska didina didi lekamaychu. If you get a written conclusion from me, I had a case, and I paskened in the case, I ruled in this situation, and my ruling was documented, and all of a sudden you get that ruling. It came before you, that ruling. V'chasitu be'pircha. And you see a problem with my ruling. You disagree with my ruling. So lo tikro atu aditu lekamai. Do not rip it up until you come to speak to me about it. Kiz i'idli taimo aminu l'chu. If I had a reason to conclude in this case, or rule in this case in such a manner, I'll explain it to you. And maybe you will agree, or maybe you'll back away. Vilo, and if not, hadranabi. I will retract my statement. I don't want you to have to overrule it. I want to know exactly what I did wrong, and I'll retract my statement and reverse it. So that's good as long as what? Rav is alive. As long as Rav is alive, he says, don't, if you see any of my rulings, don't rip them up. Come to me and speak to me about them. All right. Achar mita. What about after I die? Lo mikra tikru. If you see a problem with my ruling, or you disagree with my ruling, don't rip it up, but don't extrapolate from it, don't learn from it. Lo mikra tikru, don't rip it up, because maybe if I was there, maybe I would have been able to give you a reason and change your mind about it. Rav is so certain about his rulings that he says, I'm not comfortable with you ripping it up, meaning that you got to speak to me before you rip it up. And when you can't speak to me, don't rip it up, because maybe I'm right. Leave it in place. On the other hand, Migmar Nolu Tagrimine, you're not allowed to learn from it. De'en le Dayan, Ela Meshayin Avrot, that the Dayan can only do what he sees. So since you disagree with my psak over here, and you feel differently, you can't go ahead then and say, oh, well, if Rava says that, that's it. Right? No, you have to say, okay, that's the Rava Paskin. And if Rava Paskin, that's for him, that's good. But for me, now I see things differently, and I have to Paskin based on what I see. Oh, fine. So I can't extrapolate what he has, but I also can't rip up what he has. It's a very interesting statement. It's an unbelievable statement of Rava about the power of his Psak Halacha, or how he felt about the power of his Psak Halacha. It's pretty amazing. And the Rashbam here says that not only does this apply to a case here, like rulings in this case, but it says, well, then the Davar Atolei B'Svara. Right, so even in logical arguments, that a dayan has to go after what is, right, libo roe, whatever he feels. I mean, it's not just in, right, the dayan mashaneinu v'ro'ot means what he sees literally, that what's in front of him. But eino v'ro'ot does not just mean practical seeing, but also eino v'ro'ot means what he thinks, meaning thinking, it's seeing means how you see the logic in this case. So therefore, a judge has free rein, because that's, he's granted the right to give psak halacha and to rule. He's granted that right. He does what he feels is right in this case. But that doesn't mean, and Rav is saying, that you can override what I said. You can disagree with what I said, but you can't go and unwind or override what I said. So now I promised you I'd go back to the Rashbam over here. The Rashbam lays out, right, a basic, very important principles over here. So here, if you look in the Rashbam, he says, it's Ad Shiyomru Lo Aloch Lamaseh. It's the third line down in the wide lines in the Rashbam. It says, the Kevin Sheshali Yedei Maseh, once a person asks for practical halacha, Veinan Yodim B'davar, Elamashu Omer Lehem, Enomar Tam Chazu Beit Lo Yado. He shouldn't say that he didn't see anything. Right? Meaning that when he says Aloch Lamaseh, we're not going to say that he was just making a theoretical statement, he's just making an academic statement, he didn't think about it carefully. No, because you're asking for a practical halacha, that's it. Many other places, we see this throughout the Gemara, we say, "Ein lemedim halacha from the Mishnah." So even in the Mishnah, sometimes in the Mishnah, the Gemara actually says, "Halacha ke so-and-so." The Gemara afterwards may disagrees with that, or will not accept it. The Gemara says, why? Because they don't learn, even when it says halacha in the Mishnah, the word halacha in the Mishnah, that is not conclusive in terms of psak halacha. Kagon, and then he gives an example. We'll skip down for the example, and then about a line, two lines down, it says, Veshminan, Dein Morin Alocha Mitoch Mishnah, Hilav Dekava Alocha Kimoto. From this, he's saying over there, that case, you will not learn out the Alocha from the Mishnah, even if it says Alocha, unless the Gemara itself passed in the Alocha this way. So now, the Gemara, if you skip down one more line, it says, Abahalochot Psukot, Bedivre HaMoraim. If we have a statement, an inclusive statement by one of the Amoraim in the Gemara, Vadai Samchinan, of course we're going to rely on it. Where do you ever see in the Gemara the word halacha lemaaseh? Never. Many places in the Gemara, the Gemara says Behilchasa. We just had it before. Behilchasa, Tokadei Dibur, Kadibur Dami. We just had that statement. Does it say there halacha lemaaseh? No, it just says Behilchasa. So why is that enough? So that the Rashi says, when it's halacha psuka, when it's a final given halacha in the Gemara, that we of course rely that the kevin shepaskum bekatvum, since they were concluding and wrote it down, Rav Ashi veRavina, right? So they shame so far, vaday aleihu samchina. They were the end of the openness of the Gemara. They're the conclusion of the Gemara, and if they already documented in the Gemara, and it's clear that that's what they believed was the halacha. They're giving up psak halacha in that case. Matzino lemedim. So from this we learn Tehechi de palig yachid itzel rabim. If there's an individual arguing on a plurality, kihain lo samchinen apsach halacha shel mishnah. In that case, we will not rely on when a mishnah says halacha kidvarav. So if you have an individual arguing on the rabim, and then the mishnah says the halacha is like that individual, we do not rely on the mishnah. Elohim came to say gemara, unless the gemara also says halacha is that way. Aval apsach the gemara samchinen. When it comes to the gemara, we always rely on the psak halacha. To kulo have halacha lemaseh. That's it. This is the statement of the Rishbam, that anything written in the Gemara is halacha lemaaseh. Elosh Rabbi Yochanan levado haya machmir le'atzmo. So here comes the Rishbam and says Rabbi Yochanan himself was machmir himself. V'amar l'talmidav kidulaman. He says to his students, and we saw that case before, to Rav Papa and Rav Shua, that shelo yaseh. I'm sorry, Rav Huna, Brady, Rav Shua. Shelo yasu devar shemru lehem halacha lemaaseh. That Rabbi Yochanan said to his students, don't do it until the halacha lemaaseh. This is the reason. The Dilma Hodorve Me'al Psak Halacha Shepasak. He says, maybe I'll change my mind. This is all in the theoretical realm. So I gave a svara. Maybe tomorrow I'll see a different svara and I'll change my mind. V'ira lo tamacher beinav. And that next new idea or new logic will appeal to him. Umiyo, he says, Achar b'tirato. After the death of Rabbi Yochanan, Yesh lam lasot ma shepasak lahem. Then they should do what he told them. Why? He never changed his mind. He said something and he never changed his mind about it. And certainly when the Gemara documents something, so number one, it's according to the Shabbat, halacha lemaaseh, because that's why they documented in the Gemara. And number two is, that's all we have from Rashi. We don't see Rav Ashi changing his mind. Because if he wrote it, that was his conclusion, and he didn't change his mind. And now Rav Ashi's not here, so of course we're going to follow it. And Rabbi Yochanan, who says here that you have to ask for halacha lemaaseh, that was number one during his lifetime, and number two a chumrah of Rabbi Yochanan. Da'ah kaim alam bebaba metzio. We learned in Rabbi Metzio, Rav Ashi v'Ravina sof hara. They're the conclusion of hara. Ulumi nishal od b'shat maaseh. Says, who we're going to go to now? Who are you going to go to ask a question, Rav Ashi? If you say that they're the end of Hora, they're the end of Psak, meaning the conclusion of the Amoraim, the conclusion of the Gemara, then that is a definitive Psak. And who are you going to go to say to override Rav Ashi? You can't override. That's the conclusion of the Gemara. Once you have the Gemara, once you have Rav Ashi Psak, then everything from after that point goes forward is something that we have to contend with the Gemara. You have to contend with the Gemara, not disagree with the Gemara. Diktani, Aishumar lo halacha lemaaseh, in adam rashoi, the chadesh devar me'ata. How can you be also, all of a sudden, make up new halachot? Elvade kmo shepasku achronim, kach naaseh. V'achna amrina b'Yerushalmi. So what Yerushalmi says, in the second parak of Pe'ah, b'zeir b'shem Shmuel, amar, in lemidim, lo min halachot, v'lo min ha'agadot, v'lo min ha'tosafatot. Elamina Gemara, you can't learn from Alocha, Agadot, the Tosefta, you can't learn from any of these places. Komar, Midive Amoraim. The only place you're allowed to learn out Alocha from is what the Amoraim concluded in the Gemara. Velomi Paasea Katuvim Mishnah, not a case that was mentioned in the Mishnah, Brisa, Kagon, in those cases, the Plige Rabbim Alei. And if that's in a case when the Rabbim argue on that position. Again, if the Rabbim agree with that position, then we know the Rabbim. So that's not a problem. The problem is when you're trying to paskin against the Rabbim, then you need a conclusive statement from the Gemara. Achim ru alacha lemaaseh, klomar, kein alacha alacha laaseh kein. So that's the way to do the alacha. Inami, shiomar lo alacha de lasot maaseh. Right, that go, either he says alacha, go and act on my alacha, or he says, this is alacha and you're allowed to act upon it. Kugon, shibab shalach chamim maaseh. Comes and asks for a conclusion from the Chumim Maaseh. A case came to my hands. Heich halacha. Right, what is the halacha? Kedei lasod kach. Right, in order to conclude it. V'amru lo halacha kiploni. And then he gives him a statement. So he knows that this person is going to go act on what he tells them. They're alfa pisha amrustam ze halacha lemaaseh. That's equivalent of saying halacha lemaaseh. So that's very important. The Rashbam here limits the Gemara. He limits Rabbi Yochanan to being a chumrah of Rabbi Yochanan, number one. And only during the lifetime of Rabbi Yochanan, once the person passed away, you don't have to have this halacha lemaaseh because he never changed his mind, even from the theoretical. Therefore, it stands, the halacha. That's number one. Number two is that this really, the application of this is only in situations where you're going against the Rabbim. You're going against the Rabbim, then you have to have an explicit statement in the Gemara to go against the Rabbim, or again, in this case here, we have halacha from Yochanan if he's going against right others. And again, when the Gemara concludes, it's equivalent to saying halacha l'maaseh, because they're the end of Horah, they're the end of Psak, and when they wrote it, that means that was their conclusion. If that's their conclusion, then we're going to paskin based on that. Number one, they're not alive anymore, so what's there to talk about? And number two is, the fact that they wrote it is indicative that they believed halacha l'maaseh. They knew that that was the end of Horah, and people are going to read out of the Gemara, they're going to paskin halacha based on it. So that has practical halacha associated with it, and it's equivalent of halacha l'maaseh. And in our cases here, if you want to, you know, go and ask a halacha case, you should say that, what based, I'm going to act on this, I'm going to do this, give me a psak halacha. And don't, sometimes you'll hear that from people, oh, that I think this should be the halacha, but I don't want you to repeat it, I don't want you to act on it. And you see that even in the Achronim, in Mishnah Berurah, and many times in Rishonim, they say, I believe that the position should be this way. Ilol mistafina michavrei, if I wasn't embarrassed from my friends, you know, or if I wasn't embarrassed to upend or undermine halacha that was stated before me, I think halacha should be this way. So in that case, right, we see that he believes something, but he's not willing to be kovei al halacha l'maaseh. It's again, it's a theoretical statement that if I was up, if I had my druthers, I would make the halacha this way. But I'm afraid there are others, there are bigger guns, bigger people than me that said otherwise. There are my friends, everybody else disagrees with me, so I'm afraid to make such a statement. So there he's making a statement of the theoretical, he's not giving you halacha l'maaseh. So you have to be very careful when you receive such a psak, when you receive such information, is it in the context of limud, in the context of explanation, or is it in the context of practical halacha, of being granting the right for you to go and act on this, or to give psak halacha based on this. Alright, we'll stop over here.